taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans.
Helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Welcome there, everyday Americans. You've joined the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach a rising generation to be free. And for me, that includes looking around. Look at what's going on in the world around us and trying to dig through the rhetoric and the hyperbole and getting to the truth, or at least as much of the truth as we can. And then asking the question, and then what? What's a logical conclusion we can draw from these points of view, from what's going on? Now, there's a couple of sayings that I really think will help ground today's episode. The first is an old saying that says, to a hammer, everything looks like a nail. The idea being that, you know, based on your presuppositions, everything seems to fit within the presuppositions. Now, this is interesting because it kind of works two ways. One way is to assume if you have somebody, for example, someone who focuses everything on race will always see things in the color and based on race. To someone who believes that, everything that happened to them that's bad is because of their race, everything that happens to them, they'll assume is because of their race. Same thing with gender, right? Everybody who thinks that they're being held down because they're a woman, every negative thing that happens to them is obviously because they're a woman. But the other part of that saying is you can learn a lot about someone's presuppositions by the tool they keep using. So if you see someone who over and over and over again keeps going the same way, keeps looking for the same tool, keeps looking for the same fix, as Albert Einstein is claimed to have said, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome, is the definition of insanity. So I want to take a look at some of these hammers of government, the way those in government use it as a hammer to get what they want. Now, the other saying that I hear this, I use this all the time, better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and prove it. The idea is, if you're not really sure what you're talking about, you're better to keep your mouth quiet. Because when you open your mouth and prove that you're a fool, you can't hide from it. And if there's one person on Capitol Hill that epitomizes the saying of better to keep your mouth shut, it's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I'm amazed. I mean, it tells you something that even I saw a Babylon Bee quote from her, so a quote attributed to her. Now, I didn't realize it was a Babylon Bee at first because it sounded very much like something she would say. Of course, then again, I looked at it and it was a Babylon Bee, so I know she didn't say it. But this didn't come from the Babylon Bee. I read it from the Daily Caller, but apparently this is a tweet from Ms. Ocasio-Cortez. She said, additionally, the Senate blockage makes Biden's unwillingness to act on student loan debt something he can do without Congress, but hasn't yet, all the more glaring. Now, I would like to remind Ms. Ocasio-Cortez and pretty much everybody else that either serves in a government position or, I guess in this case, has a brain in their head, that the president is not king. Biden is not king of the United States. He's president. Biden cannot spend money without an appropriation from Congress. It is illegal for Biden to spend money without an appropriation from Congress. Article 1, Section 9, Clause 7. No money shall be drawn from the Treasury but in consequence of appropriation made by law, and a regular statement and account of receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published from time to time. See, apparently Ms. Cortez thinks that, you know, Biden can just wave his magic presidential wand and these loans will disappear. But you see, those loans have to be paid for. Somebody has to take money out of the Treasury to cover that debt. And that's not something the president can do. Now, here's what I can learn about Ms. Ocasio-Cortez, not just from this tweet, but from many things she said in the past. One, she lives in a world that doesn't exist. And two, she believes that the United States is run by petty tyrants. I ask everybody who lives in Ms. Ocasio-Cortez's district, do you believe you live under a king? Do you? Because your representative, who you hire to exercise your sovereign power in your name, believes we live in a kingdom, that the president can simply write off acts of Congress because he wants to. Now, first of all, it was illegal for the federal government to get involved with student loans. Name me the article, section, and clause in the Constitution that gives Congress, or that gives the United States the authority, that delegates to the United States the power to get involved with loans, making loans, collecting loans, to meddle in the educational finance system. Name it. Doesn't exist. So Congress and the president, the United States, broke the law when they started buying up these student loans. So they pledged the money of the American people to cover student loans illegally. I think that's called extortion, isn't it? Yeah, that's called extortion. And now Ms. Ocasio-Cortez wants to further that extortion by simply claiming the money disappears. She wants to steal even more money from the American people, and since they can't get it through Congress, she is more than happy for the president to put on a kingly crown and just wipe away the contracts, the loans, the agreements of the American people. She wants to take your money to make her look good to a bunch of college students who took out loans they couldn't afford. Now, is that, ladies and gentlemen of Ms. Ocasio-Cortez's district in New York City, is that how you feel? That you're more than willing to steal money from the American people? Well, it's not stealing, Paul. It's a tax. Oh, contraire. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 says Congress has the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. Not of the states and not of the citizens. They stole this money. And now Ms. Cortez wants to take that theft, that extortion, and complete the deal. And by the way, every person who currently has a student loan that the government has simply forgiven, you are a party to extortion. That money was extorted from the American people under threat of punishment, fines, and jail time. It was collected for an illegal purpose. And now, not only do you want to benefit from a loan loan shark, that's right, the federal government's now become a loan shark. The only difference is loan sharks charge you really high interest rates, and if you don't pay, they break your legs. The federal government charges you who knows what interest rates, and if you don't pay, they simply forgive it. They break the taxpayers' legs. Because if the taxpayers won't pay for it, they go to jail. This is the worldview that is representing a district in New York City. This is someone opening their mouth and proving themselves to be a dictator and a petty tyrant. Why don't you just turn around and say, let them eat cake? And again, she is the fault of the people of her district. I believe she has a district in Brooklyn. She's their fault. So if you really want to thank the people putting petty tyrants in government, thank the people of Brooklyn in her district that voted for her more than once. You know, there's fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I could understand, you know, the first time you voted for her, well, you know, we weren't really sure. At this point, you know exactly who this person is. You know exactly the ideas they're promoting, the socialist, Marxist, hate America first. You voted for her. Shame on you. Then again, seems like most of the American voters will vote for people that will be fooled multiple times. So, yeah, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 10,000 times, I'm probably an American voter. Because this is not nearly the odd, this is not the odd person out. This is not the exception. This is truly becoming the rule. So we go from Ms. Ocasio-Cortez to another petty oligarch, tyrant, aristocrat, anti-American, anti-liberty. In this case, the senator from Massachusetts, Elizabeth Warren. Now, she claims that cryptocurrency is an environmental disaster. And for that reason, she wants more regulation. Now, again, to a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Elizabeth Warren doesn't like cryptocurrency, so it's got to be an environmental disaster because that is her main go-to charge. It's an environmental disaster, so we got to get... Now, I'm trying to figure out what that environmental disaster is, Ms. Warren. Are cryptocurrency polluting the atmosphere? No. Is cryptocurrency spoiling our water? No. Is it poisoning the soil? No. The best you come up with is cryptocurrency is mined digitally, which means you have computers that are consuming electricity. So according to her, anything that consumes electricity is an environmental disaster, Ms. Warren. Does that include the electric cars? Because, well, they consume electricity. No, here's her problem. See, she calls it the Wild West. She says it's not, things like Dogecoin and Bitcoin are not a good way to buy and sell things, not a good investment. Well, suddenly, now, Ms. Warren, can we bring you up on charges for acting like a financial advisor without a license? Has she just committed fraud by giving financial advice when she has no idea what she's talking about? That's basically what she's done. She's committing fraud because whether or not you believe Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies are a good investment or not, that's your choice. Ms. Warren, you have no legal authority to tell the American people what they can and cannot use to buy and sell things. You cannot tell them what is and isn't. You can give them advice. You can't legally force them. Now, why is Ms. Warren so against cryptocurrency? Well, she claims that cryptocurrency has created opportunities to scam investors, arrest, assist criminals, and worsen the climate crisis. Well, again, there is nothing in the climate crisis. She points to absolutely nothing that makes cryptocurrency dangerous to the climate crisis. She is lying through her teeth. And we've had scam investors and criminals long before we had cryptocurrency. Oh, but we've had ransomware. Yeah, and they happen to pay with cryptocurrency because people believe that cryptocurrency is anonymous. It is not. It's being sold as that, but it's not. How many times have criminals extorted people for cash? No, she doesn't like cryptocurrency because she said a digital currency backed by the Federal Reserve shows great promise. Oh, there's the problem with cryptocurrency in Ms. Warren's mind. It's not controlled by the federal government, which is exactly the reason why it was invented. It's exactly the reason why many people are flocking to it. They are tired of the Federal Reserve controlling the lifeblood. They want out. She doesn't. She views cryptocurrency, something that is controlled outside of the federal government, as a threat. The threats posted by cryptocurrency show that Congress and federal regulators can't continue to hide out, hoping the crypto will go away. It won't. It's time to confront these issues head on. Yes, Ms. Warren, the issue of you being a tyrant. The issue of you trying to regulate each and every action of each and every American citizen is vile and disgusting. And the citizens of Massachusetts should be ashamed of you. Because as evil and twisted as you are, they have voted for you. You are exercising their power in their name, and they should hang their heads in shame and beg forgiveness of the citizens of the rest of this country for inflicting you on us. How dare you claim the authority to tell the American people how they can do business? How dare you? You petty little disgusting tyrant. This is the nonsense that drove our founding fathers to declare independence. To sign their names to a document that says governments are instituted among men to protect our rights. That their only just powers are the ones we consent to. And that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. Ms. Warren, we did not consent to you telling us how we can spend our goods, what we can and cannot invest in. You are part of a government that is destructive to these ends. Therefore, it is our right to alter it. Pray that we do so at the ballot box rather than abolish it on the battlefield. Because you are nothing but a petty tyrant, a small-minded woman in a powerful position, which makes you extremely dangerous to freedom and liberty in America. And the people of Massachusetts should be ashamed. The birthplace of liberty. The battles of Lexington and Concord that started the war that we fought for our independence. The Boston Massacre, the Boston Tea Party, the home of these is now the home of petty tyrants that want to tell you how to pay for your stuff. John Adams, Sam Adams would not simply hang their heads in shame. I believe they would exile themselves to see what their countrymen have done to their legacy. If this were colonial times, Ms. Warren, Ms. Ocasio-Cortez, they would be run out of town on a rail. Be thankful that we don't live in those times. And they're not alone. They're not alone. Number three, Representative Tlaib claims that Muslim women don't have freedom of speech. That's right. Representative Rashida Tlaib says she, as a Muslim woman, does not have freedom of speech in a tweet to 1.4 million Twitter followers. Now, all right, let's be fair. Just because you can speak to a lot of people does not mean you don't have, you have freedom of speech. Quantity does not mean quality. Why does Ms. Tlaib think that as a Muslim woman, she doesn't have freedom of speech? Because the House Democrats have condemned the language of Representative Ilhan Omar. Why? Because Ms. Omar tried to create a false equivalency between the U.S., Israel, and Hamas and the Taliban. And was forced to clarify her statements, to walk back her statements. Now, let's make a very important point. Freedom of speech, like any other right, ends when you infringe on the rights of others. I have proof. All right. So my standard, my analysis of rights, for you to legitimately exercise a right, it must not infringe on the rights of others. Therefore, we have, the question is, did Ms. Ilhan Omar, did she infringe on the rights of others when she lied about the policies and actions of the U.S. and Israel and compare them to groups like Hamas that indiscriminately fires rockets to kill Israeli citizens? Compare that to Israel's launching of guided missiles to shoot them down and to destroy the, I won't say they're cowardly, I'll say they're vile and disgusting people that use innocent civilians, women and children, as human shields. She's comparing them. The Taliban that repressed women like Ms. Omar, that says, you don't deserve to get an education. You shouldn't be taught to read and write. She's comparing that to the U.S. and Israel. That, my friends, is defamation. Defamation is not protected by freedom of speech. So when Rashida Tlaib uses her freedom of speech to say that just because she's a Ms. Omar is a Muslim woman, she should be allowed to defame anybody she wants. Is anybody else disgusted at this? Let's face it. If Representative Gohmert, or even better, Representative Stefanik, were to defame Hamas and the Taliban, you may say, well, how can you defame them? Well, you could lie about them. Let's say they were to lie about the actions of them. I would not want to be between Ms. Tlaib or Ms. Omar and a microphone as they ran to denounce their actions, to refer to them as homophobic, or I'm sorry, Islamophobic. This little petty tyrant doesn't like people who disagree with her and will use her hammer is any language that will support her and her party. Ms. Tlaib and Ms. Omar have proven over and over and over again they are anti-Semites. They hate Israel with a passion. They are more than happy to have Hamas, Hezbollah, and anyone else destroy Israel and to kill Jews. And we're supposed to worry that she claims she has no freedom of speech while she exercises her freedom of speech to malign those who want to hold a member of Congress accountable for her libelous language? Let's stop listening to these petty tyrants. These people have no weight. Ms. Ocasio-Cortez is a fool. Why anybody listens to her, I have no idea. Ms. Warren, I don't know. She's not a fool. But she is a vile excuse for a representative, for a senator. Why is she given the time of day? Why is someone that is trying so hard to destroy this country, to tear it apart, who lied over and over and over again just to get some time on stage to say, listen, I'm a Native American. She's a racist. Why? Why does anybody listen to her? Why do the people of Massachusetts keep giving her a job? And Ms. Tlaib, you're an anti-Semite. You're a disgusting excuse for a representative. You are using your freedom of speech to deny the freedom of speech of millions of others who were disgusted at the lies Ms. Old Omar said. Why do we listen to you? I don't give two hoots what any of these three women say. Not because they're women, because they've shown themselves through their actions that their hammer of choice is to beat and destroy the freedom and liberty in America, and I will not comply with that. I will not promote it. I will call it out for what it is. Petty tyrants and dictators looking to rule other people. When will the American people have enough of these people who turn every disagreement into a chance to rip America apart? Now, I got to head off to a break, but before I do that, I want to let you know, I've been talking to you recently about Healthy Cell. I've been taking the Immune Super Boost now for a while. It's actually pretty good. It even tastes good. I take the gel as a shooter. It's easy to take. It's travel ready. It helps boost your immune system, which, again, it's important if you want to deal with COVID-19. Like I said, I refuse to take the vaccine because I have a healthy immune system and I want to keep it that way. And if you head to healthycell.com/outloud, you'll get 20% off your first order. So do me a favor, head to healthycell.com/outloud, give it a try, and see if it does as good for you as it does for me, because it's a simple and easy way to help keep your immune system strong.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
While the cancel culture is determined to destroy our history, bringing violence and terror to city streets, America Out Loud will enhance its own message of love and honor for the American traditions and constitutional values that have always been the backbone of what America means: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. We're back at the Constitution Study, and today we're looking at the hammer that the federal government uses to treat all of us like nails. And one of the most common, and we spent the first half talking about individuals. Today I'm going to talk, the rest of the show, I'm going to talk more about policies. And one of the ones that have been just running rampant through our economy, through our society, is the hammer of the government spending money it doesn't have on things it's not supposed to. Specifically, I'm talking about unemployment. Again, anybody, find me article, chapter, clause where the federal government is authorized to spend money on unemployment. See, that's not the general welfare of the United States. The United States is the union of states. That is not the benefit of the union. This is the benefit of individuals. But it's even worse than that. See, when the scaredemic started, and I call it a scaredemic because, you know, the definition of a pandemic is generally a deadly virus or a deadly disease that impacts a large amount, a large percentage of the country, of a country or the world. While COVID-19 certainly has impacted us, the biggest impact has not been the virus, it has been government. So we have these governments and these government bureaucrats that have decided, you know what, we need to shut everything down in, we're finding out now, direct contradiction to the evidence, to science. We'll shut everything down. We'll decide to shut down businesses because, well, we don't think they should be open. We will deny people their property of their businesses, their liberty to go about their lives. And in doing so, we will trash the economy. We will put thousands and millions of people out of work. And then lo and behold, we have millions of people out of work. Oh my, what are we going to do? Government to the rescue. Let's take another illegal action and give them money we don't have as a bonus because other governments have put them out of work. I think this is referred to as the broken leg fallacy. Hey, we'll break your leg and then we'll come up with a solution for you. See, the government, the only answer to everything is more and more government. No matter how big a mess government makes, the answer is always more government. And it is killing our economy. A friend of ours works at a nursery. She manages a nursery. And she had 40 people leave, employees leave, because in large part because they could make almost as much money sitting on their backsides, playing video games and eating Cheetos. So we have the government spending money it doesn't have, illegally spending money it doesn't have, to fix a problem that other governments made. So if you live in a state that shut things down, say California, New York, Michigan, all that unemployment that they want the federal, they want the people of the United States to pay for the screw-ups of these states. See, states know that if they screw things up really bad, the federal government will come and bail them out. You know, kind of like the spoiled rich kid who knows if they get caught, you know, shoplifting or speeding or drunk driving, daddy will come and make it all better. Because to government, the hammer of government, you're just a nail. So we'll, when we pay you to not work, they are shocked. Shocked, I say, to find out there are some people that won't work. Now, there are some people that work anyway. Maybe it's because they can make more money working than they can on unemployment. Maybe because they have a strong work ethic. Maybe because they have the pride of saying, I'm not going to live on the dole. But there are a significant number of people who make the quite logical summation that say, if you will pay me not to work, I'm not going to work. So that's the government hammer. We know better. We will shove you. We will tell you when and where you can't work. And then when we tell you you can't work, we'll pay you to not work. And we'll punish the people who are working. The people who have done the right things. We're going to punish the people who have done the right thing, who have continued to work, who have kept their businesses open. We'll punish them by getting them to pay you for your bad behavior. That is the hammer of government. They love punishing people who do the right thing to pay people for doing the wrong thing. And then they are shocked, shocked when people do the wrong thing. It is illegal for the federal government to provide unemployment. There is nothing. You cannot look at the General Welfare Clause and say that's the benefit of the United States. No, that's the benefit of unemployed individuals. people, not the United States. It is to the benefit of several of the states, not to the United States, not to the Union. When James Madison was a member of the House of Representatives, there a bill came before the House called the Cod Fisheries Bill. And in the floor debate, Madison said, and I'm quoting from the record of the House of Representatives, "The section of the bill," he continued, "appears to contain a direct bounty on occupations, and if that be its object, it is the first attempt as yet made by this government to exercise such authority, and it is constitutionally struck him in a doubtful point of view. For in no part of the Constitution could he, in express terms, find a power given to Congress to grant bounties on occupations. The power is neither directly granted nor, by any reasonable construction of that he could give, annexed to any other specified in the Constitution." That's the record of what's going on. This is nothing new. This has been going on since 1792. Governments have tried to buy off people by offering them money. It is further recorded in the debate, quote, "It is to be reconciled that the terms common defense and general welfare are as here used are not novel terms first introduced into this Constitution. They are terms familiar in their construction and well known to the people of America. They are repeatedly found in the old Articles of Confederation, where, although they are susceptible of as great a latitude as can be given them by the context here, it was never supposed or pretended that they conveyed any such power as is now assigned to them. On the contrary, it was always considered clear and certain that the old Congress was limited to the enumerated powers and that the enumeration limited and explained the general terms. If Congress can employ money indefinitely to the general welfare, and are the sole and supreme judges of the general welfare, they may take the care of religion into their own hands. They may appoint teachers in every state, county, and parish, and pay them out of the public treasury. They may take into their own hands the education of children, establishing in like manner schools throughout the Union. They may assume the provision for the poor. They may undertake the regulation of all roads other than post roads. In short, everything from the highest object of state legislation down to the most minute object of police would be thrown under the power of Congress. For every object I have mentioned would admit of the application of money and might be called, if Congress pleased, provision for the general welfare." This is what Congress has done. Madison stopped it in 1792, but this is what they've done, and this is what they're continuing to do. And it's not the Democrats. It's the Democrats, the Republicans, a pox on all their houses. It is a disgusting abuse of power. He ends Madison ends his part of the debate with, quote, "In short, sir, without going farther into the subject, which I should not have here touched at all, but for the reasons already mentioned, I venture to declare it as my opinion that, were the power of Congress to be established in the latitude contended for, it would subvert the very foundations and transmute the very nature of the limited government established by the people of America, and what inferences might be drawn or what consequences ensue from such a step is incumbent on us all to consider." This is what happened when the American people fail to rein in their Congress when they act illegally, whether it be bounties for cod fishermen or unemployment for anyone. It is a violation of the Constitution, and since we have let it happen, since we'd never consider the consequences of allowing Congress to spend money they weren't authorized to, now we're dealing with it. Rather, when those who came before us refused to stop this when it was small, refused to follow the example of James Madison, now we're dealing with it when it is large. That is the hammer of government. Congress turns around and says, hey, anything, we see something, let's spend money on it. It's not their money, what do they care? You want some more? I'm ranging kind of far and wide in the second half of this episode. Do you remember Merrick Garland? You know, the guy that Obama put up for Supreme Court that the Senate said, nah, we don't want him. Who's now the Attorney General? Well, he was before a Senate panel back on June 9th, and he wants money. There's no surprise. What does he want money for? Well, he says that threats to the safety of federal judges are a dangerous problem and a serious threat amid a rise in domestic extremism, while calling for more federal funding for judicial security. Yeah. See, he looks at it and says, you know, threats to judges, that's a problem. We need money so that we can get, I'm assuming, armed security to protect them. Well, Mr. Garland, what about everybody else? Don't I have a right to protect myself? The same man who wants you to spend money to have armed security for government judges does not want you to have your own security to protect yourself. He just wants you to spend money to protect the people he wants. Well, Mr. Garland, here's suggestion number one. How about these judges to arm themselves? If they want to protect themselves, do it. Now, if there are true, credible threats, if they are getting death threats, then the police should be dealing with it. But stop claiming that just because you get a government paycheck, you deserve security, while letting the rest of us flounder, subjects to an all-powerful government. Why do you think we have a Second Amendment? It's not so that Bambi won't take our guns away. It's so that we can protect ourselves from the criminal, both on the street and the criminals in government. Yet he wants money to protect judges, while the Department of Justice is taking away, is infringing on the rights of Americans to keep and bear arms. More security for me, but none for thee. That's the hammer of government. See, if you get a government paycheck, you get treated special. Whether because you're a judge, as we just saw, or law enforcement. This idea of qualified immunity, that you can break the law if you're part of law enforcement, you can break the law as long as a court has not told you you can't, is anathema to liberty and freedom. So now we have this woman, Ashley Babbitt. She was the only person killed on January 6th in the Capitol. There was an officer who died. He died from a heart attack. He was not killed. She was killed. And the Capitol Police are stonewalling. They're protecting him. They refuse to release the name of the person who potentially committed, of the person who committed homicide. Now, technically, it's homicide. Whether it was legitimate or not has yet to be determined in a court of law. But how can you determine it in a court of law when the people who are trying to get justice for Ms. Babbitt are not allowed to know who killed her? Are not allowed access to the security footage, public footage, public property, public records are being denied to the public because they are protecting a government agent who potentially has committed a crime. When we declared independence in 1776, one of the reasons we gave was because the government was protecting military, which at that time was also law enforcement, a large part of the law enforcement. Specifically, quote, from the Declaration of Independence, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states. This isn't even a mock trial. They're not allowing this to go to trial. Your government, which is exercising your power in your name, is denying one of your citizens the right to petition the government for a redress of grievance by withholding public information. Hammer of government. We simply won't comply. Now, her family has filed a lawsuit for the under the Freedom of Information Act, saying this information should be made available. If this were any other officer, that person's name would be on every news program across the country. Even if it was a legitimate shooting, we don't know because we're not allowed access to the evidence. Her family is being denied the right to petition the government for redress of grievance. They are hiding information. They are protecting a law enforcement officer from even finding out the truth, whether it was legitimate or not. There are 14,000 hours of video footage they've asked for that have yet to be released. See, if you work for the government, especially the federal government, you work under a different set of rules. That's not a republic. That's not freedom of or liberty. That is tyranny. In fact, I'd go so far as that is despotism. And that is what goes on in America. Hammer. Deny, deny, deny. Pound the nails of the American people. I have one more for today. It's a topic I've talked about a bit before, but it's still related to this hammer. The hammer of government. We can lie if we want, but heaven forbid the people want. We can do what we want, regardless of what the law says. We won't let you defend yourself, but we want money so we can defend us. We will shield law enforcement officers from scrutiny if it's for the right reason. See, I bet you if this was an officer accused of shooting someone at a BLM or Antifa rally, their name, photograph, address, work history would be plastered all over the media. That their governments would not protect this person. But because it was January 6th and the Democrats don't like it, well, this person gets protected. But last, and certainly not least, another hammer. According to Senator Tom Cotton, in, I guess it was a meeting or a something they were doing, he told Defense Secretary Austin that there are hundreds of military whistleblowers reporting that they are being indoctrinated with anti-American propaganda. There was a hearing, and in the hearing, Senator Cotton claimed that these whistleblowers complain of plummeting morale, growing mistrust between races and sexes, where none existed just 6 months ago, and unexpected retirements and separations based on those trainings alone. One whistleblower, by the way, I found this in the Epoch Times, one whistleblower, according to Cotton, said that military history has been replaced with training on police brutality, systemic racism, and white privilege. I thought we desegregated the military. Well, you see, then Woodrow Wilson resegregated the military. Then we desegregated again. Another said that his unit was forced to read White Fragility, a feminist anti-male rant, a sexist rant, often full of lies and misinformation. How about Space Force Lieutenant Commander Matthew Lohmeyer, who was terminated, who was removed from his position, in part because of comments he made during a podcast denouncing critical race theory and warning about the spread of Marxism in the Space Force ranks. Heaven forbid someone in there say, we have a problem. We're being trained to be racist. We're being trained to be Marxists. We're being trained to be anti-American. And for that, they are removed from their command. How well is the military is supposed to protect us when they spend more time learning that white males are evil, to judge everybody based on their race, that pregnant women should be in combat, when they're indoctrinated to hate everything America stands for? How well are they going to defend us if and when the fight comes back to us? How can you train somebody that America is an evil, racist nation, then send them out to fight for that nation? This is the military whose job is to defend the Constitution of the United States, and by extension, you. And in just 6 months, we are seeing it turn into a further political, anti-American, racist, bigoted training machine. And it is your representatives that do it. They are doing it because you hired them to exercise your sovereign power in your name. So before you go complaining about the training out there, look in the mirror and realize you put the people in place to make it happen. This is the fault of the American people. And once you deal with the fact that it is your fault, the good news is we can fix it. We can fix it not by putting our head in the sand. We can fix it by taking away the hammer of the federal government. How do we take away the hammer of the federal government? By refusing to follow the nincompoops that see everything as racist, sexist, xenophobic. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Ms. Ocasio-Cortez, Ms. Tlaib, Ms. Warren, I don't care. As far as I'm concerned, you have proven yourselves to be traitors to your oath of office, therefore unqualified to hold that office, and the fact that you have duped people in your districts or your state to keep you there just shows how much we need to educate the American people. The fact that our representatives have pushed the unemployment, the extra funding for judicial security, that refuse to allow justice to be even determined for Capitol Police or for the military, just shows that we have to stand athwart them and say, no, we will not allow this to stand. To quote Lord of the Rings, you shall not pass. We the people ordained and established the federal government through our states. We the people are its rightful masters. And we the people must hold it accountable. As Thomas Jefferson said, I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with wholesome discretion, let's pause a second. I think we have plenty of evidence that the people are not exercising that power with a wholesome discretion. What is it? What is the remedy? According to Jefferson, quote, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power. The answer is of a population that is not doing their job, that is not exercising their control properly, is not to take it from them, is to educate them. That is the corrective of abuses of constitutional power, and we must start doing that. And that starts with reading and studying the Constitution, with educating ourselves, our families, and our neighbors. You can find out more at constitutionstudy.com. You can find out more by listening to other people on America Out Loud. There are several great podcasts here. But it's up to the American people. Join me on my Knowing Your Rights tour. I will help educate you on some of the of your rights, how they're being infringed upon, and what you can do about it. Join me on constitutionscholars.com. We can discuss and debate. And by the way, I haven't mentioned this before, but twice a month, I do a live question and answer. So if you want, if you have questions you want to ask, you can always ask them at the website, constitutionstudy.com. But if you want to participate in that Q&A, it goes live out on YouTube and Periscope. Sorry, Facebook won't have me. I don't have any other services that my system works with. But you can always join me live. Go to constitutionstudy.com. On the right-hand side, you'll see a calendar. Just find Constitution Live Q&A. Register. You'll get a link to a Zoom meeting. And we have a wonderful time with questions and answers. It's the second and fourth Thursday of the month. So if you're interested, please go there. Check it out. Because the true corrective of constitutional abuse is an educated people, an educated populace. So please check that out. Again, head to AmericaOutloud.com. America Out Loud Radio plays on the iHeartRadio network as well. You can listen on our media player. You can listen on a web browser. You can listen on your phone. There are apps for Apple, Android, and Alexa. We stream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And these programs will also come out as a podcast, so you can listen to them even after they've aired. So please do that. Check that out. If you can listen, if you listen to us on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, please leave us a rating and review. Help other people find the Constitution Study and the other programs on America Out Loud. Because if we wish to remain a free people, if we want to secure America's future, it is up to we, the people, to do that. It's not up to the people in Congress. It's up to us everyday Americans.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail.